under center. Motion from the left by Adam, makes the catch on the screen, and then he barrels his way forward, palming inside the five and into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Patterson to the 10, to the 15, right to the 20. 25-30, okay, avoids a hit. See ya. He runs right to the 40. Trying to outrun the kicker to the 45-40, he will. He's in the clear. Goodbye, Cordero Patterson. Touchdown, Patriots! White running to the end zone.
That's how we do it.
And he's in for a Patriots touchdown. Brady motions White across the formation, takes the snap. It's a touch pass to James White. Sprints to the far pylon. He's in. He's got a second touchdown of the day. And the Patriots expand their lead.
Punt with O'Donnell standing on his 30. He has it shoulder high.
And got on his blocked right up the middle. Blocked by Hightower.
Score.
It's going to be picked up by the Patriots. Van Noy from the 10. He's pressured by Claymore. He starts to roll his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White. White is caught and wrapped up. Short of the goal line. And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago.
38. The Bears 31. That's the final from Chicago.
We just go home.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Touchdown! Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. We are joined by Patriots Hall of Fame member Troy Brown. Hello, Troy.
What's up, man? What's going on?
You got some sleep for the first time in a while.
Sleep, man, but that's going away.
Yeah. Next week.
I might be well rested because I might sleep through that whole game next week.
That's my plan.
I hope that's the case. I really do.
I was telling you off the air, you should just do the Patriots post game thing at halftime and go home after that. Because that Bills team, I mean, they are awful.
They beat the Vikings.
That's the scary thing. But then again, it was that wasn't before.
That's a bad football team. It's a bad, 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 bad football team.
All right, we were talking about you this morning because Cordero Patterson, has the fumble, which leads to the Bears scoring, and then he has that amazing 95-yard run back. But there was that moment, or about 15 yards, where he's doing the walk and he's high-fiving his teammate. Yeah. He goes in the end zone, and we were trying to figure out this morning, does Bill Belichick say anything about that to him in the film room?
I was listening to you guys debate that a little bit, and from my experience, he would have a lot to say about that.
He's not going to show the return for the score, right? Yeah. He's just going to show the high five.
He's going to show the high five and the no. He might show a couple of good blocks in there that kind of sprung him a little bit.
Right.
And then he gets to the end and he's going to stop it about the 15-yard line and then give a few choice words and remind everybody else, too, to get the ball across the line, and kind of do what you want to do at that point. But
So his fear is that if you screw around before you're in the end zone, that something bad could happen.
Well, it's just not possibly. I mean, he's been around football a long time. He's seen a lot of crazy stuff happening, guys trip each other up or something, trying to high-five each other, feet get crossed up or, whatever. Somebody come up from behind him. Obviously, nobody was there, but he's seen some things happen. I like you've been there, too. You saw he jumped those guys in the preseason for celebrating the interception they got down there, I think. He had to stop a big drive there. So, and he jumped those guys right on the sideline. So it'll happen. He'll get a hold of him.
Is he completely anti-peacocking, or is it like...
He's not completely anti. Okay. But,
Got to score first.
Yeah, you got to score first, especially after you just screwed up one before.
Well, that's got to suck. You can't get on TV. I mean, you got to be able to do something to get on TV.
I would say the 95-yard run back is enough to get on TV.
That'll get you on TV. I woke up this morning, it was on TV.
Because of the high five.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to stand out. I mean, there's kick returns for touchdowns all the time. You got to do something. Belichick there. Now he's hurting your career.
Think about it. Patterson can't catch passes. He falls down without being touched. They can only hand him the football. This is the one way he can contribute.
The kickoff return?
Yes, that's it.
It doesn't happen very often anymore either.
Saying.
So, you're lucky to get one a game now. But, He's got to try to get that some kind of deal with somebody who gives a nice contract, a nice
be like kangaroo shoes.
Kangaroo shoes with the zipper pocket of his contract.
It's gonna be, yeah, it's
good call.
I had a pair of those when I was like 6 or 7, I think. So.
Yeah,
I love putting my little dollar I got in there.
A dollar? Well, that's impressive.
Bragger.
Couldn't even fit a quarter. Yeah, these very small change.
You know.
So that was a weird game, man. I mean, it was like you had some amazing plays, and then you had some of the worst plays that we've seen all season long.
Yeah.
I want to get right to one because there's the end of the game, that final play kind of encapsulates what that was. The Bears should have never been able to have completed that pass, but Trubisky, rather. But the Patriots end up making... Well, I don't know. I don't want to say if it's a good play, but they
Daron
keep him
Harmon
out there.
Saved the game.
He did. So have you played? You've played Hail Mary protection before, right?
Yeah.
You have. What did Josh Gordon do right and wrong? Because he seemed to be the one guy that was wildly out of place.
Well, he wasn't ever out there.
Yeah, I give him a pass because he was in for Gronk. That's usually Gronk's position.
Okay.
And I don't know if they had time to prepare for that. Maybe he did because Friday's usually the day when you practice that particular play, and I think Gronk went out in Friday's practice, if I'm not mistaken.
So, okay.
But so maybe he had a chance to practice it on that Friday, and either the coaching or something, the attention span or something wasn't there. But you're supposed to bat the ball down. And he wasn't close to batting it down.
Okay.
He should have been in front of the guy. You had like the rest of the team that was behind him and on the side of him. There was nobody in front of him. So to be the box out, kind of box him out a little bit and go up and knock it down. And he wasn't even close.
Is it never catch it? Is that the rule? You never catch it. You always try to knock it down?
You never catch it. You just knock it down. I mean, if it hits you right in the chest, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, you should have jumped earlier if it hits you in the chest. But like Ninkovich said yesterday, I mean, Gronkowski used to be out there because he was so much bigger than everybody. He would go up and catch it just to piss off Bill, I guess. You know?
They told him not to.
But I start dancing around with it. But, you know, the rule is just knock it down.
Okay. And Daron Harmon obviously saves everyone's ass there. But, I mean, that's got to be a moment where he, you know, Bill's going to wear out the replay on that in the film room as well, correct?
Yeah, he's going to wear that out. So, and they're going to go over who needs to be on what and where to put bodies on who. And yeah, somebody needed to be in front of him, in front of that guy. You just don't let him go up there and catch it like that, man. That was way too easy.
Speaking of Josh Gordon, he ran out of steam.
That was kind of funny.
We didn't know what happened to him out there. We were like, what just happened to this guy?
Well, the fact that he laid down like exhausted after that. So do you think that's just a matter of his hamstrings been bothering him? And
that's a matter of a guy not playing in 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's what he looked like.
Yeah, you don't often see, because that like lineman can run that amount of distance, like, you know, when they pick up a fumble.
No doubt.
Have you seen receivers before just, like, lose steam like that, run out of breath?
Yeah, you kind of been in that position before where you just get so tense and you forget to breathe. Or you just, you know, your hamstrings start locking up. You know, I've seen running backs do it, too. They just, not that they just run out of gas, they just lock up because they're so tight and tense.
Right.
They don't really know how to run. So, and it happens, but I just never seen a guy just like run out of gas like that and get up and say, oh, I ran out of gas.
Yeah. It was like one of those nature videos where the lions are going up on the elephant. The elephant's doing okay for a while, and then they just take him over.
I mean, it almost like he popped a hamstring while he was running. And
that's what I thought.
See, I was worried about that.
You know?
Yeah. I was fairly confident that he had just gotten exhausted.
Yeah. Well, he laid on the ground.
That was not the Josh Gordon I saw back in 2013.
Yeah.
No. It's like Freaky Friday. Some fat guy and him in the stands just switched bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. But it got to feel good, though, that Josh Gordon is getting...
Yeah, you got a 100-yard game in and, you know, threw him the ball like, what, seven, eight times. And
yeah.
He caught most of those. And, you know, I mean...
You see his roots big
plays.
Expanding,
almost
too.
Almost big plays he made in the game. So, I mean, yeah, it's good to see that happening. Especially without Gronk yesterday.
Yeah.
So, good to see him out there making plays.
Better than expected or right where you expected as far as, the, you know, into the season with Josh Gordon?
Well, I wasn't really expecting his conditioning to be that bad. But, so, that's actually a pretty great game for a guy that's not in shape yet. So, I mean, hopefully the better things that have come out of that situation. Well,
but you can see by the routes he's running and things. Like, when you watch him play, from working with Tom Brady before, does it seem like Josh – gets it, or is he just running basic routes just so...
Well, he's not doing anything like you would see Edelman doing.
Okay.
You know, he's on the outside. He's running, trying to run those stop routes and comebacks and a few things like that. You know, and those are kind of routes that are a little difficult for bigger guys to run anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you let him do it anyway, because, you know, people should be fearing his speed, which probably is not showing just yet. But, you know, and that'll help get him open on some of those routes too. So that's what I said. As the season goes on, he'll probably get in better shape and be able to get open on some of those comeback routes that'll help him out a lot. So they haven't really connected on a lot of those just yet.
Yeah.
But he's got strong hands, so he's able to catch the ball well in traffic. And he does, I mean, God, he does a fine job of doing that.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's on him, he can still catch a ball. So, I mean, so the route running, I don't expect him to get a whole lot better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect it to improve some.
Yeah.
You know, and he can make some more plays on the outside. So.
Well, when we get back, let's talk about a guy who doesn't get winded, apparently, and that being Mitch Trubisky. It's some of the worst, defensive plays I've seen. In a
the worst defensive plays and some of the worst quarterbacking.
Yeah, sir. Exactly.
And all in one game. That would look like a classic preseason game that we watched yesterday. Man.
Yeah, he's atrocious. He is absolutely atrocious. We'll be right back.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Quarterback extending the hands and taking the snap. Dropping back. Pressured by Claiborne and Flowers.
Yeah.
Rolling right. Circling backward at the 30. Trubisky pulls up at the 25.
Hit it.
He runs left to the 20. 15-10. Trubisky to the 5. He's going to score. Tiptoeing into the end zone. It's a touchdown for Chicago.
That's sad. This is sad right here. That should never happen. Quarterback runs 20 yards back and then finds a caravan down the left sideline.
Gotta be kidding me. .985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
It's like chasing a Clydesdale.
I didn't notice Zolak say that before, but he's like, I can't believe it. This clown.
Oh, yeah. He hates Trubisky. He hates him. And like the disdain.
He's a horrible quarterback.
Well, Trubisky had like another play where he went on forever. And I guess he almost scored.
Almost
scored. And I guess he's got another one where he just is ripping on Trubisky the entire time. But I mean, that was awful. I mean, we were saying off the air. I mean, it's the worst defensive play of the year, without a doubt. I mean, how do you let that happen if you're the Patriots defense?
Maybe Trubisky's a great player. He's a better running back than he is a quarterback.
Well, that goes without saying. Yeah, that goes without saying.
So, hey, man, we were baffled, you know, and listening to Nink and, you know, Gerard, those guys that talk a little bit, you know, they're defensive guys.
Yeah.
So Nink's going on and on and on about the containment, you know, and all this stuff, and don't get up, you know, play the upfield shoulder on that situation. And he's right, you know, I mean, because he rolled back out of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he had nobody to roll into. And if you're a Bears fan, you're probably going like, that dumb, you know, who drafted this guy? You know, then like all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's like, oh, great, wonderful play. And it's like, but where was everybody else? And you saw the overhead shot they showed. It was like three guys chasing the quarterback and like eight guys in the end zone.
Yeah.
And nobody moved up to come tackle the guy.
Who ultimately should have done that? Like, who's the guy who's going to get the most blame this morning?
Anybody in the game.
Yeah.
I guess the line of scrimmage was the eight-yard line, so I guess. But he was so far back, I guess they figured he should stay back a little bit longer. And
he went like 30.
Not let him
throw
it over their head. I mean, that was one hell of a run, man. I mean, that was a big loop backwards.
Yeah.
And I don't think he got tested. He was in the end zone, right?
Well, he walked into the end zone.
Somebody? Yeah, he walked in there. I mean, that was just absolutely nuts, man. I don't have an excuse for him on that one. So
now, when you see play like that being given up, and you know, we keep coming back to the defense, and it's like, I mean, the offenses seem to have found their groove, even with Sony Michel, and we'll get to that in a moment. I mean, Brady finds a way, and he makes the guys around him. Yeah. I mean, there's a different star every week. But the defense is still a major issue.
It seems like it's getting worse as time goes on.
They were playing pretty good at the beginning of the season. It's not like they were getting better like through week four.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they just kind of, the wheels just kind of came off. I think they played the first half great against Indy. Then the second half, it looked like the teams just switched jerseys and the Patriots became the Colts defense and just started giving up these big plays, man.
Yeah.
And it's just
Off the air,
it's
Troy,
kind of snowball for him.
Yeah, Troy, off the air, you were talking to Wallach about it, and the defense is susceptible in a few ways. Basically, if it's not Gilmore, everything else is wide open.
So you just, if you're a quarterback, you come in, you don't throw at Stephon Gilmore, and you're fine.
Yeah, up and down the
field.
Don't
throw at Stephon Gilmore. I like Jonathan Jones. I mean, he's been beat a few times. He was beat yesterday a few times and made up for it because the guy didn't quit, you know. That's one thing I like about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, underthrown balls, that type of stuff. He made plays on him and came down with one big interception there, you know, to stop him from scoring on that drive. But, yeah, everything else right now, if you got a decent tight end and you got some backs that can do some things in the passing game, then you have an opportunity, you know, to score points. And you're just going to be in a shootout with Tom Brady in that offense. And whoever gets the ball last or whoever can come up with one or two big stops per half is going to win the game.
What about the sloppiness? That's another thing yesterday.
That Patriot-like, un-Belichick-like. Especially after having a game where you didn't punt, you had an interception, I think, in that game last week,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have any penalties. And then you come back, you had, seven this game?
Yeah, it was bad.
For like 90 yards or something. And then you had, three turnovers?
Each for a score, I believe. Didn't each one lead to
it? They all led to scores.
Yep, yeah.
So, and two touchdowns in the first two. So that's very un-Patriot-like. And to get a delay a game penalty on a kickoff. That's,
that was crazy.
You blew a timeout. Yeah. You blew a timeout because you had 10 guys on the field on 4th and 4.
That was crazy.
It's very preseason like stuff that's going on. That was going on in that game yesterday. You would expect it from the Chicago Bears or some other team, but just watching the Patriots over the last 20 years, you wouldn't expect the Patriots team to go out and look the way they looked yesterday as far as sloppiness.
Well, you compared what happened yesterday to last week when, you know, they were very disciplined. And as you said, there was, you know, they didn't punt. Is there something about playing down to your competition? You know,
they went out and beat the Miami Dolphins the way they were supposed to beat the Miami Dolphins.
Sure.
So you go out and you execute against no matter who's out there, and you give it your best, and you don't turn the football over. Ball security is important. Knowing where you're supposed to be at or who's supposed to be on certain packages on the field, all that's important. It's the same thing every week. So, no, I don't buy that excuse at all. So, I mean, it's you got to try to be as consistent as possible in this league.
Well, during your time, there wasn't as a problem like you seem to have now. I mean, the defense was always very good when you were playing with them. You didn't have a situation where it's so lopsided.
Yeah.
If you're somebody, I mean, I don't know if you can kind of put yourself in this place where you are on this offense and you're putting up massive points every week. I mean, you're finding a way to be explosive, and yet the defense continues to keep you guys in these games that you should not be kept in. How frustrating is that as someone on the offensive side of the ball to see that happening?
Well, I don't think it's like frustrating until it's like, you know, you get down to a Hail Mary point, you know, but as an offense, you just kind of go out there and do your job. We need to score points, you know, and that's the kind of mindset you have. We need to score as many points as possible.
Yeah, 40 of
them. We don't know what the defense is going to do.
at least 40 to win.
But every time you have the ball, you want to put some points on the board, preferably touchdowns.
Yeah, pump your stats.
Yeah, pump your stats up, you know, get those incentives.
Yeah.
You know, that's all important
stuff
to
it. Think about your next contest. You should be thrilled.
Exactly, yeah. That's a good negotiating point right there.
Right.
If your stats are up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I need another catch to break my, you know, get over that unlikely to be earned incentive.
Yeah, you suck all you want, defense. It means I just keep getting fed the ball.
That's all important stuff, man. But, hey, I mean, yeah, you don't really think about what the defense should be doing out there. I mean, sometimes you got to, oh, man, here we go again, you know. So, and it's, you get that attitude, but you go out there and you put up as many points as possible and you root the defense on, you know. I mean, that's just the way you look across the league, man. It's so hard for these teams to get stops now.
Yeah.
The greatest defense we talked about, Jacksonville, looks like a shell of themselves now.
They are so bad right now.
They're bad.
Yeah.
And then people are taking advantage of them.
They want to throw Blake Bortles through a window. You know?
We were talking about this, my idea. but do you think that the league's going to get to a point where defensive players are are not valued nearly as highly as offensive?
Possibly,
players?
Because I mean the numbers are going up now with the ratings and people are liking it, tuning in, and you know, these high scoring games, and you know, that's kind of what the people that love the NFL now, it's what they want to see is this team score. They don't really care about, you know, how close the defense is, or can the defense compete under these rules?
Because if I want a pass rusher, which has always been believed that's something you absolutely need, I mean, you can hurry a quarterback, but I can't really hit him.
Yeah, you're going to have to recruit guys, and coaches in college and high school, they're going to have to teach guys how to tackle guys and do acrobatic things as they're going to the ground so they don't fall on top of quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to teach the game different.
Right.
So it's a lot of things as a defensive player that you just you can't do. You can't touch receivers down the field past 5 yards. And, you know, I've seen guys actually stop when a guy put their hands on them down the field. They, like, stop and just don't even try to catch the ball anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
look to the ref. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's a tough league to play defense in, but that's the way it's going. You know, and, again, you got to play defense now and expect your defense to go out there and get one, possibly two stops per half.
Yep.
And then you got a chance to win.
All right, when we get back, I want to ask you about life without Sony Michel and possibly Rob Gronkowski and how worried you are. Anytime you hear back and Rob Gronkowski in the same sentence, it never makes you feel good.
And since they're coming to Buffalo, I want your opinion on the ugliest fans in the NFL.
I mean, physically or...
Physically,
just the things they do is being ugly.
Well, no, either one. I would say a mix of the two. We can go both.
Table smashing.
I have a feeling they're probably the same fan base.
Yeah. the things they do are pretty ugly.
Yeah.
All right. We were talking about it last night on the show.
I heard the
thing they threw on the field.
Yeah, they threw that dildo. Green Bay's up there, I've heard as well. I don't know how many times that Troy's been out there to Green Bay, but I've heard that's
once or twice.
Yeah, that's not so.
My first time wasn't very good. I got cut after my first trip to Green Bay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I fumbled. It was a preseason game. And Parcells cut me the next day.
All right.
That conversation.
I actually want to know that. When we get back, I want to find out what's it like to be cut by Parcells. Yeah. I want to find out what that's like.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots won in Chicago yesterday in another game that was far from comfortable to watch or listen to. 38-31. Top running back Sony Michel left in the first half with a knee injury. James White, more than an adequate fill-in with a pair of touchdown catches.
Definitely, it's tough to see a guy like that go down. He's been battling through some injuries and stuff. He's been working real hard. He's been playing well. So, you know, I just hope for a speedy recovery for him. But when guys go down, you know, guys like myself, Kenny Young, have to step in and fill the void and just make it the most of the opportunities that we get.
Patriots got a kickoff return for a score from Cordarrelle Patterson and a blocked punt return for a TD by Kyle Van Noy in the win as well. They're 5-2 alone in first place in the division. The next game is in Buffalo a week from tonight. You mentioned the Sony Michel injury. Carted off the field with a knee problem after a fumble in the first half. Did not return. They'll undergo an MRI today. Bills, by the way, taken apart in Indianapolis yesterday, 37-5. They're 2-5 on the season. World Series begins tomorrow night at Fenway Park. Red Sox and Dodgers in game one of a best-of-7. Celtics back in action tonight at home against Orlando. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by U.S. Marker Board, New England's go-to supplier of custom whiteboards and glassboards. Organize your projects and staff on a new whiteboard or glassboard at usmarkerboard.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Hi, this is attorney Darren Colucci of Colucci, Colucci, Marks & Flavin. We're proud to have earned national recognition as a premier personal injury law firm. So if you've been injured through no fault of your own, please feel free to call us at 617-698-6000. And rest assured, unlike athletes, we only get paid when we win.
If you want to get exclusive access to the New England Patriots and a great rate on your car insurance, then you need to check out the Patriots' official auto insurance program from Plymouth Rock. It combines the best of the Pats with the coverage you need. Go to PlymouthRock.com/touchdown.
Hey, it's Mike Penner, General Manager of Imperial Cars. All dealers claim to have the lowest prices, the largest inventory, or we'll give you the most for your trade. Heck, we do it too. Hey, listen, you can purchase or service your vehicle just about anywhere. But you can only get the Imperial experience at Imperial Cars. Shop and compare Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram on one giant 52-acre lot. Read what our customers are saying about us on Cars.com, Dealer Raider, or just Google us. Click ImperialCars.com. Imperial Cars, we're big in the little town of Mendon. Check out the new Imperial Hyundai in Milford.
Wearing shorts and a t-shirt to a Bruins game?
So cold. So cold.
Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to help you find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast, which gives everyone a nice, warm feeling. Well, except this guy.
No,
I'm okay.
No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And proud supporter of the Boston Bruins. Bruins fans, try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Boston. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Boston. ZipRecruiter.com/Boston.
Hey, it's Maz. The future is here. The innovators at New England Fat Loss have created app-based online programs for you. MetaboGuide is the weight gain intervention maintenance app that helps you build muscle and maintain weight based on your DNA. You need the right fuel for your body, and with MetaboGuide, you will maintain your weight and never step on the scale alone again. No travel required. Online programs available. Unlock your metabolic future at NewEnglandFatLoss.com.
NewEnglandFatLoss.com.
New England has a game plan, whether home or away. Are you prepared? Get your game plan together and be ready before winter hits hard. Turn to the experts at Suburban HVAC, a Carrier factory authorized dealer. Visit TakeComfort.net.
It's fall into savings time at Pride Kia on the Linway in Lynn. And Pride Kia has over 100 Kia Sportage SUVs in stock. Nobody has more Kia Sportages than Pride Kia on the Linway in Lynn. Right now, lease the 2019 Kia Sportage LX all-wheel drive SUV for only $185 per month. Get yourself a safe and dependable all-wheel drive Kia Sportage in time for the winter. Go to Pride Kia on the Linway in Lynn or PrideKiaOfLynn.com.
We're proud, we're Pride, and we care.
Leases for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year, $29.95 due at signing. Includes $185 first monthly payment tax, settled license acquisition, and dog fee not included. August 10th through 18.
Hello?
Good morning, Ms. Garner. This is your wake-up call.
Oh, thank you. While I have you on the phone, did you know that with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase?
I did not.
Think about it. Unlimited double miles on everything you buy, not just airline purchases.
That is a great deal.
So, I guess we should call this your wake-up call from Capital One.
Feels like I should have seen that coming. Speaking of which, I should probably get back to work.
Oh, of course. But before you go, can I ask, what's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, a laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there. I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
So, cold weather is here, and is your home ready? Get new windows, doors, siding, roofing, and even baths. Call my friends at NewPro today, 1-800-GO-NEWPRO.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown. You like it, right?
.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio. We were talking to him. We talked about Green Bay, and then Troy said that he was cut after a preseason game by Bill Parcells that was played in Green Bay. Can you kind of take us through?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about the people at Green Bay because they were nicer to me than Parcells was.
I just like how you're reliving one of your worst memories of your career,
man,
with us.
It was. It was just one of those games, man. They punted the ball to me, and it wasn't even like a fumble, bad fumble. It was like it was so bad they actually took the ball from me and ran it in for a touchdown.
Oh wow! So you ripped it out of your hands.
So yeah. So this was like back when we were having a lot of trouble just trying to. We had guys like Chris Slade who had never played special teams playing special teams, so, you know, and the blocking was atrocious. But you never give up the football.
Yeah,
don't give it up that easy. But you know, and it was one of those things, man. Like I got up off the ground, and I'm like, maybe I should walk to the Green Bay sideline.
Just hide.
So when I walked over there, man, I walked back to my sideline, and it was like I could feel like just like heat-seeking eyes just staring through my head, man. Just like, and then I looked up and I saw him, and he didn't say one word.
Yeah.
So, and I went and sat on the bench, and I knew at that particular point that. Yeah, this is probably my last game.
Yeah.
So, and
when'd you find out?
The next morning, where, you know, the old stadium, they had that little glass part out front out there, and you had to walk in there, and then there were some stairs to the right, and then there's another door you had to go through, and you look right at Parcells' office. Well, on cut days, whatever day they decided to cut somebody, Bobby Greer would be standing in between those two doors. So you always knew when you came in that if you saw Bobby Greer standing there, then somebody was getting the axe. And I knew I was going. You know, you had a chance of sneaking by if he had caught somebody before you got there.
Yeah.
So, but that day, he was waiting for me, man.
Okay.
And yeah, we called him the Greer Reaper.
And he brings you right into Parcells' office, and it's Parcells' office.
You got to go upstairs first. Okay. You got to go upstairs. You're like Nancy, who's still there. She does all the travel stuff and have all the paperwork ready for you to sign. The pink slip. You get a pink slip and all that. And then you go downstairs and you get this great big old black trash bag. One of those big 45-gallon, 55-gallon bags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a trash bag. You know, you can take whatever you want to take and, you know, leave the helmet.
So you didn't even see Parcells.
Leave the helmet in the playbook, and you can say bye to whoever you want to say bye, and then, hey, see you later, bro.
GTFO. Okay?
Yeah, got your flight. Back then, we were still getting paper tickets, so had the paper ticket, all that stuff ready to go, man.
So when does it become apparent that you're coming back?
When I was watching them play the Jets, like week seven or eight, I think, maybe nine,
mm-hmm.
and Ronnie Harris, who was on the team with me, who actually took the job of punt returning, dropped a punt against the Jets, and they lost that game. So,
ka-ching!
And then I got a phone call like that night, and it was Bobby Greer saying, we want to bring you back. Get to the airport tomorrow morning, and we'll see you then.
Did you watch that game when you saw him fumble? Were you like, oh, yeah?
You were waiting by the phone at that point?
Well, I didn't know if they were going to call me or who, because I had worked out for a couple of teams like Kansas City, I think, Carolina, somebody else. What was it? Wasn't Carolina. It was a couple other teams I worked out for. I actually worked out for the Jets. So,
wow.
And Pete Carroll was coaching there, I believe, at the time. And nobody actually called. I was still working out back at home. I said, you know what? I'm forget this. When it got me a job at the Boys and Girls Club, I said I was going to go back to school in January, and I just stopped working out.
You probably said, all right, time for pizza.
It's like it was like what, 8 or 9 weeks, something like that. I'm not going back. And then that happened. Like the week I stopped working out.
Yeah, that was it, right? You were back for good.
And I was back for good. And, you know, I was out of football shape. And, you know, he busted my behind, man, when I got back. So I was catching punts like every day after practice and running through the gauntlet. Like, he had guys, like other young guys and the ball boys trying to take the ball from me and not hitting at it and everything, man. And like every day for like 2 or 3 weeks, man.
What's the meanest thing he ever said to you? Because everyone knows Parcells had a gift.
Oh, he had a gift for that. I think I was returning the kickoff in practice one day, and he was basically like, and I ran kind of high with my head back, you know, all that stuff. And you don't run kickoffs back like that, I learned. And he said, you better get those pads down. You know, and he came over to me, started whispering to me, like get those pads down. You know, you're going to be going back to South Carolina in a box. A very small box of that, you know. man. Yeah, well, he said some stuff, man. He had stuff for everybody in practice, man. It was just, you know, he was constantly busting on somebody. And he loved it. He loved playing to the crowd, especially like at training camp.
Uh-huh.
Is that just, you know, he always has something smart to say to somebody about something. Yeah. But he was cool, though, man, because he'll catch you one-on-one somewhere down in the dungeon of what we call the old stadium, and then have a heart-to-heart with you, you know, just about life. So and everything else.
Really? That must have been weird. So all of a sudden you're like, why are you being nice to me?
Yeah, but he's kind of, you know, because you didn't know what to expect until you did that, you know. And then, you know, he would talk about paying your taxes. You paying your taxes. He would be at the door some mornings watching to see what guys pulled up to the door in.
Oh, so he could rip on what kind of car they were driving?
No, that's the third car I saw you in this week. So he was at the guys like, you know,
look at
what guys are wearing, what kind of earrings, how much jewelry they had. And he's like, hey, let me see that shirt. That's a polo? That ain't no real polo. You know, so that's not a real polo. So like, that polo got three legs up for 12.
That's one of those knights of the round table.
He would say stuff like that, man.
He's
all
not
the time.
Exactly a fashion
you know,
plate either.
Like
man.
You saving your money, Brown, you know. So Then he called me out when I had like I was hurting in a meeting one day, and then he called me up after the meeting. He saw me, I was sniffling and eyes was running and bloodshot red. And yeah, come here, come into my office real quick. You doing drugs?
Whoa!
I said I know, Bill. I said Bill, I feel bad, man. I'm feeling pretty sick. So, and he said, oh, okay, because I've seen guys like that, you know, acting around me like that, you know. And I just wanted to know if you were, you know, I didn't want you to be doing drugs or anything like that. Now, you know,
he didn't so, like put a line. So
I'm like Bill, I feel bad. I'm sick, man.
So Bill's like, do you want to do a bump?
Right, you got any? You know.
But that was his mind. Like, he was always like, I guess he had enough players that been through a lot of things. So
we had Lawrence Taylor.
I was just gonna say Taylor's like,
I mean, there was a lot more besides him, you know. He never did like reveal names to us, but he was like, man, you know, shoot, talking about players and their parents and stuff stealing their money, and so I mean, just crazy, this man. So it was so he cared a lot about those things, so I appreciate him for that, man.
Wow. Yeah. I just think that would have made my head spin if all of a sudden Parcells came up and after being a guy you just see rip on everybody, just say something that was like human sounding. That must have been like, what's happening here? Why are you being nice to me all of a sudden?
Yeah, nah, it was cool like that, man. He was cool. So, I mean, but yeah, on the football field, whew. Yeah, be ready for anything.
All right, so Fred asked before the break, the ugliest fan base. Let's start just with looks first. Just from any of the places that you played, like what fan base made you just go, all right, well, there are not a lot of attractive people.
Like, I wouldn't want to play here for numerous reasons.
Buffalo.
I got to be careful, man, because Ted Johnson got in trouble with Vince Wilfork.
I'm not asking.
No, we're not talking about wives.
No wives.
And Bianca Wilfork is gorgeous. We love her. She's the best.
Yeah, no wives. You know, nothing.
I never really paid attention to that kind of stuff, but I'm going to say it's just as far as ugly people,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as their behavior, I would say Pittsburgh.
Okay.
All right.
Pittsburgh.
What did they do to you in Pittsburgh?
Well, we had one couple. It was probably about 75 to about 82 years old. But they mooned the bus. They pulled their pants down and mooned the bus.
If you're the guy, you got to pull your pants down.
We got snowballed.
If you're the guy, you got to pull your pants down really far if you're 82.
Now, they were some old. I don't know how old they were, but they looked pretty old, man. And they mooned the bus.
You guys must have been dying laughing.
We got snowballed. I think that might was that the 04 game we went back in there and beat them? So whatever game, it was a snow game in there somewhere. They snowballed the bus. You go out to Oakland, everybody's there 5 hours before the game. I thought it was like 3 hours before the game you were allowed to come in back then, but they were there early, man.
Wow.
Just heckling the crap out of people, man, talking about their mamas and everything else, and just everybody's painted up.
Yeah, I know.
They're Raiders stuff on. And
yeah,
just,
they're dressed like LARPers.
I guess that's classified as ugly, right?
I guess so, for sure.
Like, they're losers. Adults all dressed up. Yeah.
That was another place that was bad. Where else?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Because you got to drive through that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You got to drive through that neighborhood. So no telling what you might see. You can see a little bit of anything going on out there.
What have you seen? What have you seen through that neighborhood? Because, I mean, everyone's got a Buffalo story.
Well, you get the fingers. I think we might have seen a few testicles and everything. You know, so, but somebody's butt hanging out of a window, you know, a car window, you know. So.
I had to walk through the neighborhood. I went to a game in Buffalo once. And, like, a car next to us is, like, four guys in it. And they're driving at the same pace we're walking because of traffic. And they're like, whatever. They were like, you know, yelling at us and stuff, but nothing big. And then they start, it's a cold day. And they start mooning us. And we're like, okay. And the next thing you know, the man put his testicles outside of the window. And I'm like, it's like, it's cold.
Like, it's cold, and they were still that big to hang out of the window.
It was very impressive.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
it was very impressive. I'll tell you that. The man had a unique skill. All right, so we'll be back. We'll finish up here with Troy Brown in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown is in here for a few more minutes. All right, so I'm watching the Kansas City game last night. How much of that offense is Mahomes, and how much of that is that he has 1,000 weapons?
Well, we saw it's a little bit of both, well, a lot of both, because the Bears actually had some weapons, but not somebody to get it to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So you gotta have both. Even like here with Brady, you gotta have both. I mean, things weren't going so good for him in weeks 2 and 3. Then you get a boost from Josh Gordon, you get a boost from Edelman coming back, and all of a sudden things change for you. So who's on the field matters in both aspects.
You know?
So you got to have some talent in both of those positions. So, but, I mean, I just think Mahomes is probably, you know, he's probably the next great quarterback in this era, you know, to come out. You know, I know the rules have changed and stuff a lot. You know, we just finished talking about that, you know.
Yeah.
Just how, you know, it's a lot easier now to play offense than it was back in the day. But it is what it is. I mean, I would love to see, you know, defenses be able to get stops a little bit easier, be able to, you know, beat up people a little bit. But, you know, things have changed. That's the way it is. You got to adapt to the rules. And I guess I need to adapt to the what's happening in the league, you know, and the style that it's going to. So, but, you know, people seem to like it. And so it's not going to stop trending in this direction.
Well, with the Patriots' D as bad as it is, you know, we mentioned earlier, you got to outscore. You know, all you got to do is outscore the Patriots, which seems to be tough. Because
it's tough to do.
It is tough to do. So who in the AFC outside of the team that they just beat, Kansas City, do you think has the ability to outscore this offense?
I can't think of anybody else at the moment.
Chargers.
Chargers have a chance. Yeah, they have a chance.
Pittsburgh
to do it,
gets Bell back.
We've seen them against the Patriots, and they kind of just melt away.
Yeah, true.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing you got to factor into it is that, you know, Belichick's the best coach in the league, and by far. So when those guys go up against him, it's just like they just kind of forget what the situations call for and how to call those situations, and their teams aren't prepared for a lot of things like he has his teams prepared for. So anytime you have that, you have probably the greatest quarterback to play, and then you have probably the greatest coach to coach the game. It's going to be tough for anybody to beat them when they got their pieces on the field.
I heard you guys mention this briefly last night, and let's just throw it out there because there's going to be people who call or tweet us, is that with Sony Michel, we don't know – he's getting an MRI today, so we don't know what his status is.
Yeah.
But let's say he's out for the long run. Le'Veon Bell is a name that immediately everyone's throwing out, trying to – you know, just because he's a running back – what did you guys discuss last night? I know Bert was with you as well, maybe breaking down the reality of that even happening. What did you guys come up with?
Well, Bert was saying that probably wouldn't be an option, but there were some other guys out there that could be an option. Gillislee's back on the market now. You know, whatever you think about him. Yeah. Well, he does know the offense.
He does.
But just the...
They already had an opportunity. They signed Barner back instead and left Gillislee out.
That's true, too.
Kenyon Barner got signed
They had a healthy Sony Michel at the time, too, though. So
that's
now
true.
That he's hurt, that may be a spot. I think Ralph Webb is still on the practice squad, I believe.
Okay.
You know, those guys disappear when they go into practice squad, don't they?
Yeah.
But, you know, but he was talking about Le'Veon Bell as well. And, you know, I brought up the question to him about just the cap issue. You know, they just restructured Stephon Gilmore's deal to make some more cap space. They were down to like $1 million. Now they're up to like $5.1 million or something in cap space.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out all that works, you know. And I'm like, Le'Veon coming in, I know he's on a prorated whatever it is, his franchise deal or whatever, $15 million a year, I think that's what it is he's supposed to make. So whatever that calculates out to be, it's still going to be more than the $5 million cap. And he was saying they could still make it happen by mortgaging the team into the future.
Sure.
You know.
I'm Pittsburgh, there's no way I'm
there's no effing way I'm trading him to the Patriots.
Yeah,
you want to have a chance to win the AFC.
Yeah, you can't trade
that guy to the Patriots and put him and James White in that backfield.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. No, they wouldn't have a chance of doing anything. So, but – yeah, that's kind of a no-go, I think, for Pittsburgh to trade him here. So he was just bringing some other names, and Gillislee came up in the conversation. So, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody else in the AFC that you see improving or that might be a threat at the end of the season to the Patriots?
It's still kind of a long season. We've got 10 weeks to go.
Yeah.
And if Jacksonville can get their act together, they benched Bortles. So,
how funny is that?
So, not funny at all because it should have happened a long time ago. You see, I'm just thinking back to like last year. We had the game of his life against the Patriots last year and this year.
Yeah.
So, well, Marone said he
Nick
was the
Foles
best
had the game of their lives. So, like, this, those two guys is having the games of their lives at the best, at the most opportune time for them, you know, just destroying Patriots' dreams of winning the Super Bowl.
By the way, you know who Jacksonville has next? They have to play Philadelphia in London next weekend.
Well,
both teams are 3-4.
Yeah,
Philadelphia wins bad.
Yeah, I think Lane Johnson, was it Lane Johnson his name? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I got him, yeah, I think he spent too much time talking about the Patriots.
Yep.
It's paying off for him now.
All right. Well, Troy Brown, you can see him on NBC Sports Boston. It's always a pleasure, sir. He comes in after every game, even if they're night games against garbage teams like what's happening on Monday night.
Don't remind me of that.
Yes, indeed. we'll be right back. No commercials, just the headlines.